I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The most interesting thing about this film for me, Snae, is that this girl lived in a marsh her whole life, yet perfect skin, perfect hair at all times.
I am so glad you mentioned this. Oh my God, it is literally a note in my phone about to bring it up on the podcast today. Thank you so much. Okay, so when she's a child, she's got like mud all over her, you know, muddy feet, tangled hair. And you're like, makes sense. She lives in the marsh, for Christ's sake. As an adult, I understand the concept that she can bathe. I get that. What I don't understand is how she can wear several white and light colored linen dresses with nary a mark on them.
I know.
Perfect skin, never cleansed her face. She even owned a hairbrush? Who knows?
She got a straightener. Is she? How is she washing it?
She's there with a little curling wand in the bathroom.
Yeah. The swamp does things to you, I suppose.
How so clean? How so clean?
Hello there. This is I Only Like You and Movies. My name is Lonnie. I'm here with Snae, as always. How you doing?
Hi. Good, thank you.
Where the Crawdads Sing is the film on today's menu.
Hope you're interested in our wine pairing today.
I don't know about you guys, but this film was everywhere a little while ago, on buses, on ads online, on the train, everything. I was just seeing everything about this film, and also online some stories about the writer of the original book. That's a bit crazy. But just her face on all the pictures really drew me in. I was like, I've got to see this film. And that doesn't always happen to me, that, you know, just someone's face can do that to me. And looking back at the film now, I kind of feel like, yeah, that was the only thing really had this film. Was the main attraction, put it that way.
You hated this, didn't you?
I didn't hate it. I thought it was fine. I've got some tweaks that I'd make to the script personally, which I'll get into. We should get into what it's about, Snae, but I didn't realise going in that it was like a Nicholas Sparks-like story. And that's got its place, right? And it's totally fine. But looking back again at the audience I saw this film with, I was the only bloke in the cinema, Snae.
Ah, I see.
And I realised that... Yeah, this is a different demographic that was being advertised to here. But you know what? Still had not a bad time with it.
The people in front of me, they were two mums with, they each had a daughter, and the daughter's really into the book. And I think their mums had then read it, and so they were having like a four-person, we're friends and mums.
Were they teens, were they something? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
She was eating her popcorn weirdly. I thought that was odd, but you know. Maybe that's the thing the youths do these days.
How do we mean weirdly?
She was like eating it out of like the side of her hand. I don't even remember. It was very odd.
Okay. You'll have to show me how she did that at some point.
Mm.
So it's advertised as a mystery thriller film, but really it's a Nicholas Sparks romance, isn't it?
It's not a mystery thriller at all.
And it's not even a legal drama, which I kind of would have focused more on personally. Sorry.
So I thought the book, because it's based on a very popular book, I thought the book was more booky than it apparently must have been, given the film that they made about it. Like, I thought it was going to be a bit sort of pretentious and very, like, heavily linguistic and talking about beautiful language, etc. And maybe that wasn't, I don't know, I think the title put me off reading it because I'm like, oh, that's going to be hard work to get through. Now I'm like, oh, I probably would like it because it's very light. It's very light and you don't have to think too hard.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to sort of damn with faint praise or anything or really get into it too much, because I think on the whole I didn't mind it. I do think, though, without Daisy Edgar-Jones in the lead, it's a different, it's obviously a different film, but she really pulls it all together and gives you something to look at, and she's quite magnetic all the way through. So
she's great.
She's the main attraction, keeps it going, is the film's engine in a lot of ways.
Hmm. We haven't seen anything what's the film about?
No, she's a normal people, which is the main draw card for her.
Too sad.
There's also that one recently with Andrew Garfield, the TV show.
Oh, yeah. Didn't mean to watch that.
Under the Banner of Heaven, I think, which looks all right. Mm-hmm. Looks pretty good, mm-hmm. actually. But yeah, she's got a movie star sort of face and look, hasn't she? Curtain bangs, you told me, is the hairstyle. I had no idea.
I think this movie should come with a disclaimer at the beginning that says,
"Yeah,
you're going to see someone with a great hairstyle. Just because she can pull it off doesn't mean you can pull it off." Because I am so close to booking myself a hair appointment to get curtain bangs. And I just know it's going to be a fail. I'm going to hate them. I'm going to come home and cry because I was too polite to ask them to fix it. It's going to be a whole thing. But, man, they look good on her.
With it, take a picture of Daisy with you and then
be like this.
See what they can do.
Make me look like this.
Okay, the film, Sine, is about Kaya, who is the marsh girl. As we said, she's growing up in a marsh. She's with a family, abusive father. The rest of the family runs away, basically. She sticks around. Even her mum runs away. It was a bit harsh, that scene. It's pretty tough. It kind of felt a little bit like torture porn, but like, how much shit can this poor girl go through? She's just trying to live her life, you know. It felt a little bit, it's a bit heavy in parts. But she grows up, doesn't she? She ends up sort of in a sort of a love triangle of sorts. But it turns out one of the boys is dead. And who did it, Sine?
Well, are we going there now? Are we doing this now?
Well, everyone says it's the crazy marsh girl. She gets thrown in jail, and then there's a trial where we have to work out what's going on. The film sort of has different storylines or different timelines going on throughout. The good old legal part of it kind of felt tacked on at parts, which I was a bit disappointed in. But still, so it's there, I guess, if you're into that.
Before it was revealed, what was your theory?
Okay, well, we'll get into it. We'll talk about the spoilers here in case you're wary. I thought, as the film goes on, I was like, I wonder if they'll just do the thing and then in the end it actually was her as a kind of final thing, which, you know, that's how it ends up playing out like. But I thought it could have been just a tragic accident, which is what they kind of hinted at for a bit as well. And it's just the town's prejudices that thought that it was the girl who did it. What do you think?
I thought it was Tate. I thought it was Tate so clearly that I was like, that's why he's not saying anything, because he can't defend her, because he'd have to admit that he was guilty. Why didn't he defend her more then if he didn't do it? I don't think that makes sense. Anyway, I haven't read the book, so I was surprised at the ending. And listen, sometimes some people need to do some things. I'm not condoning killing people. I'm just saying sometimes shit gets real and you've got to protect yourself.
Sometimes the prey has to kill the predator. Something like that.
I think that's what she says. Yeah,
something like that. Yeah. Yeah, though it's hard to think of a scenario for her that turns out better. Like, so if he stays alive, has things turn out well for her? Hey. Can I talk about my tweaks I would make to the script today to make it stronger?
Please.
And look, I'm just a little podcaster down here in Australia, but here's what I reckon.
Okay, I'm ready.
I feel like things came a bit easy to her. While at the same time, as I said before, she's having a lot of trauma thrown at her from the get-go, from her life. The solutions to all the problems just sort of walk up to her.
Explain yourself.
I thought kind of undoes. Well, so she goes, tries to go to school, but she gets bullied, and so she leaves and just stays out in the marsh, living her own sort of reclusive life, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then a boy happens to come by and happens to think she's cute and happens to then teach her how to read. It just felt a bit convenient to me that that happened to her.
I think you're a hater. That's what I have to say about that. I think you're a Tate hater, and you hate him.
I love Tate, and I thought it was strange Tate looked like my cousin as a kid, but apart from that, I thought he was great, and I really enjoyed that. And, you know, kind of strangers, and, you know, she was friends with him, and so it's not out of the realm of possibility for that to happen.
But just felt like, it's not like there's, a million people who can, like, teach her stuff, and he was the one person out of all of them who helped
her. It was
nice
to her, and she was nice back to him. I get that, but
they're the feathers, Lonnie.
Just because he happens to drive past on his boat and is like, hey, you want to read? Okay, I'll teach you. And that in and of itself would be fine, right? But then when she gets arrested, she's stuck in jail, and the nice retired lawyer comes in.
Who was obviously...
like, hey, by the way, I'm going to...
Yeah, the part that was written for Sam Waterston that he didn't take, and so they got a lookalike. I cannot tell you how long I was like, this has to be Sam Waterston. No, it's not, though. Where are his signature dark eyebrows? No. And then I was like, I felt like I was being gaslit.
David Strand's great. He was in Bourne. He was in...
I know who he is. I know who he is. I just like...
But you had it mixed up.
Yes. And I do agree with you. That bit in the... I didn't like that bit in the jail. But I sort of just looked past it because it happened quite quickly.
Yeah, but I just think it would have been stronger then, because her salvation and the only chance she's got there is that she's got a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Is like because the nice guy sort of takes pity on her. And so I kind of felt as well with Tate, almost took pity on her and like, oh, you're cute enough. I guess I'll help you out. And like, it was nice the lawyer comes in. But what if he's retired and maybe, you know, potentially he's a bit.
I thought he was retired.
An asshole. I'm giving a scenario.
Oh, right.
He's retired. He's a bit of an asshole. He thinks she's probably needs some defense, but he doesn't want to do it. And then she's got to really go try and get him on side. She's really going to go try and convince him. And she's like, you know what? You didn't help me when I was a kid, but now you can help me now and you can right the wrongs of the past sort of thing. And I think it kind of makes sense with how the film plays out is that she was just in jail awaiting her fate because, you know, she did it. But it would have, you know, and then if in the scenario where she's innocent, she would go try and get her defense more in line, I suppose. You know, that makes sense. But it just kind of felt like, I don't know, there's a nice lawyer. He'll defend you for free and do a good job because he'd taken pity on you. I just think you could have tweaked that a bit. You could have tweaked her maybe to teach herself how to read or maybe get some help from people where she's had to really strive for it and also strive more to get some legal defense would have been maybe a bit stronger. You know what I mean?
I get it. I get where you're coming from. Get what you're saying. Love your idea. Super cool. I think that's kind of the point, though. Isn't it kind of the point that everyone sees her as this poor sort of waif of a girl who needs protecting and saving, and it turns out that they'd all given her way too much leniency? Isn't it the point that she can get all these things afforded to her because we're playing with the idea of, like, the underdog, and then when it turns out it's not like that, they realize maybe they shouldn't have done all that? I guess it's not a moment of realization for everyone else. It's just for Tate, but...
No, I mean, if that was the case, you'd bring the realization forward and have them reckon with they underestimated her.
Yeah.
I suppose. But I see where you come from. I don't know, that's a change I would have made. And I also kind of think, she's living by herself in the middle of a marsh, recluse, yet she's in a love triangle.
All these How does she do that? Very attracted to her. I mean, it is Daisy Edgar Jones. She is very enigmatic. Maybe I'd be attracted to her if I was in that situation. If I was in a small town and there was this mysterious woman who was very beautiful, who lived in this house, and she, like, was really into feathers, because you've got to be into a thing when you're at this age. And, like, I don't know, I'd be intrigued. I'd take my little boat down to see where she lived.
I just, again, it feels like she's just living a life by herself in the jail, in the marsh. And then the plot happens to her in terms of the cute boy comes to her, the other dickhead boy comes to her. It's just, and I guess she does the thing where she makes herself an author and things like that. She takes initiative there. But it just kind of like, I don't know, things happening to her when maybe she should be doing the things.
Fair.
What do you think of Chase? Obviously, an asshole.
Bad news.
Would like him.
I knew he was bad news from the beginning. Didn't like him because he was being so annoying. And he was like there all the time. I was like, shut up, Chase. Go away. You're so annoying. That was literally my reaction to him. And then I felt a bit vindicated when he was like revealed for the POS that he is. And then I was like, I'm not sure if it all works with the engagement because I think it works with the engagement if he was just using her for sex, but I don't understand why he was nice to her at all then, why they were even in love in the beginning. And I guess maybe they weren't. I don't know. Something there just doesn't really work. The reveal was felt not, didn't really make sense logistically, I don't think.
I see what you mean. Like, if theoretically he's got a nice relationship with the girl in town, why does he even bother with her in the swamp?
But he's talking like, to what, her what is about, he getting like, from her? Oh, when we get married and when I buy you a house and when this all happens. Why was he doing that if he never had the intention of doing that? I guess to keep her, like,
do you think it,
keen?
Yeah, could it have been stronger if he just, if she wanted that from him and he just kept saying, no, let's keep it casual, you know, just be fine.
But she blatantly didn't. She didn't want marriage and a house and everything, and she felt like she was being forced into it. So I don't really understand why he took that angle.
Yeah.
Especially given he was already engaged.
I mean, because then it's a twist, I suppose, is perhaps the reason.
Not good enough.
I cannot. But Tate was good. Tate did come through, even though I was angry at him when he didn't turn up when they're having the fireworks on the beach. Oh, Tate.
I understand it, though. I understand it.
But he felt like he couldn't be the right person for her. Yeah. They couldn't have a life together.
Yeah.
But maybe involve people in your discussions and your thinking, you know?
Let us in on these thoughts that we're having. As Sabrina Carpenter says, I can't read your mind, you know?
You've changed.
I had to get it in there. I've been listening to it nonstop for like the past few weeks.
Like 4 weeks ago, you're like, "Oh, I would never listen to her because she's the other woman. I love Olivia." And all of a sudden,
it was out of duty and respect towards Olivia. And I heard because I liked a boy. My whole worldview has changed. And Tornado Warning is one of the best songs ever written.
Things are more complex than they first appear.
They are. As
in this film and in that weird relationship between the two pop stars and the boy.
They're both love triangles, you know? We're looping it in somehow.
So what do you think when it was finally revealed at the end, Sine?
I was shocked. I did the, oh, it's the necklace! In my head, because I was in a cinema full of people.
Yeah,
but that was my thing. Also, they didn't do a good job searching. I didn't look at any of the books.
No.
Take the books off the shelf. What if something was behind the books? Also, get rid of the necklace. Bury it. I don't
know why she kept it.
You're in a marsh.
Yeah.
All the ground's wet. Dive under the water. Put it under the creek. Tie it to the root of a tree that's growing through the marsh. Don't keep it.
No, that was a bit rough.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I really liked the kindly family on the marsh who sort of looked out for her, the shopkeepers.
Yeah, I love them so much.
That was great. And I thought, like, maybe, like, why can't they just adopt her and look out for her more? But given their place, like as a black family or a black couple in South during the segregation sort of era, I can see why they didn't want to sort of make any waves.
Yes.
And I guess they were looking out for it still, so okay. But
apparently the books come under fire a little bit for the portrayal of black people in the story.
Okay.
I'm not sure what specifically people have issues with, but
okay.
Just think it's worth mentioning. I felt like that too. I was like, why can't she just live with you guys? Like, I don't really understand the problem. But then she would have been shipped away if they knew her dad wasn't there. And yeah, I get it.
True. Then they still had, she had social services looking out for her anyway, when the government looking at seeing what she was up to. So yeah. Yes. All in all, I didn't mind it. And I thought it was good fun, but I think maybe I would have, if I'd gone in sort of, I got to recalibrate myself during watching it rather than going in knowing I was in for a bit of a Nicholas Sparks style love triangle.
Yeah.
When I thought it was going to be more of a legal thriller mystery.
Yeah.
It makes sort of, it does that a little bit, but the emphasis is elsewhere, I think.
For sure.
That said, Daisy Edgar Jones, revelation for me. I know Bill went to the party.
She's so great. She's perfect. I love her.
Yeah, like every acting choice was just felt so real and lived in, and yeah, just tremendous.
Ellen, we've spoken about a few of your narrative issues. Would I be able to pipe up with a couple of my biggest issues?
Yes. Please.
My biggest issue about the entire film is that I don't understand why her family didn't take her. The mum leaves first, right? And then it's revealed that she didn't speak for months afterwards. She didn't even know that she had children. She was completely traumatized and had a complete mental breakdown. Fine. That's fine. Don't blame her at all. The sisters, the two older sisters who have been beaten, go, we have to get out of here, but we're not going to take our young defenseless sister or our young defenseless brother. Why would they not take her? It's not the same situation where they're going through like a thing and they forget that they have her. They walk past her. Do they hate her? Why would they not I just don't understand why they wouldn't take her, the sisters. I can't get past that.
It's not even dramatized if there is a reason.
No.
I guess they were just didn't care or just wanted to get out themselves. They thought she might slow them down or something, but that's all me imagining. It's not shown.
No, none of it's shown. There's no explanation at all. It makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we needed the whole brother comes back from the war storyline. I mean, we only needed that for exposition so that she could be like, oh, my mum never found me because she was sick. Mm. I just feel like they could have found that out another way. I don't know if we need the brother who we thought were dead coming back situation.
Yeah.
Another story beat that didn't go anywhere. The housing developers. Just
quickly, wait. On that point, she could have been an only child and it would have been exactly the same, right?
Yes. I think it would have been. Yep.
Yeah. Mm, okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Just make a note of that in your rewrite, please. Just make that change. We'll just incorporate that one. The housing developer. So he comes and he's like, nice bit of land you got there. And everyone's like, quick, lady, you've got to pay your $800 in taxes so that you don't get booted off your land, which she just does.
Yeah.
Because she just gets a book deal that's like $15,000. Where's my book deal for $15,000? Also, good to see that author's rates haven't gone up at all with inflation, by the way. You still get paid that much. I just, like, it didn't go anywhere. There was never any threat. There was one guy asking a question. There was never, like, a struggle for her to make the money to be able to pay it off. I don't know if the book goes into more detail about that, but the movie sure didn't. And I just questioned why it was even included if it didn't change anything.
Yeah. So I think things are a bit simple. It's almost like they were very much focused on the trauma she goes through, but then the solutions that came about just sort of happened.
Just sort of hand-wavy. She didn't struggle to. Yeah.
Yeah. Here we go. Here's some boys for her to fall in love with. Here's a lawyer. Here's the trial going to go the right way for her.
And I feel like like, is she going to pay off the taxes? Well, not is. Yes, she will. How is she going to pay off the taxes? Oh, she just pays them. Yeah. How's she going to get out of the house with her dad? Oh, he just leaves. Yeah, he just leaves.
Yeah.
It's like you had me interested in these answers to the questions, but the answer that you gave me was so simple. you know.
Well, how's she going to deal with the horrible ex-boyfriend? Just kills him.
Yep. Gets away with it. I know, I'm being a bit reductive, and you can, you know, apply that to anything and it would sound bad.
You can do anything.
But I don't know. I do understand what you're saying. I wanted a bit more of, I don't know, the struggle to get to the solution, you know.
That's the story, isn't it? The struggle. It's a bit like the pitch meeting. It's a bit, yeah, super easy, barely inconvenient.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a quote here on Wikipedia. It's pretty funny. They've called her a manic pixie dream girl murder suspect.
She is a manic pixie dream girl murder suspect, yes.
With perfect hair in the swamp.
Perfect hair and spotless clothing. Beautiful dresses, by the way. Huge fashion inspo for me now.
Oh, really?
You didn't see the nice, like, 50cc's dresses?
Mm.
I was like, I'm going to sew myself one of those dresses. That looks amazing.
Wow. Is she up on your Pinterest inspo board now?
I should pin it on my board. People use Pinterest anymore. Is that a thing?
I don't know. People, I guess they do.
Okay. That reference is very timely then, I'm sure. Now, long-time people who are friends of mine might know that...
Friends, you might say?
That I like Taylor Swift.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And she wrote a song, didn't she?
She did write a song for this movie, an original song.
Mm.
Great. Wonderful. I think Aaron was even part of it, which is amazing. I have a question, though, about writing original songs for movies. What is the point if it just goes over the credits? And you know what other movie did this recently? Top Gun Maverick. Lady Gaga wrote a song just for the credits. What's that about? Is that a thing? Why? What am I supposed to be feeling or thinking from that decision?
It feels a bit old school, doesn't it? Yeah, like we used to do it back in the 80s and 90s.
Why is the song not in the movie?
I don't know. But because it's written for the movie, does that mean it's eligible for the Oscars then? Is she trying to get an Oscar?
Potench.
Hmm.
Also.
But I always feel like it should be better if the song is incorporated in the film, if it's going to win an Oscar.
Do they not want to put it in the film so you're not like, oh my God, that's Taylor Swift's song, and then it takes you out of the moment?
Hmm.
But then why ask her to make a song anyway then, if she's too well-known as a particular moment?
They could have had it like in story or even sung by someone else, but then she plays the real version at the end.
At the end. Be,
Like
sense. I'm pretty sure, don't they do that with, in The Lion King? Am I making this up? Maybe I'm making this up. I thought Elton John actually sang one version of the song to go over the credits.
That makes sense.
Maybe I'm making it up. If not, that's what they should have done.
Hear that, Disney? You should have done. If you didn't already.
You know what it sort of reminded me of? Do you recall? Mm. Bear with me here, everybody. There was a Nicholas Sparks movie that we watched. And it was like a love story. And it was also set on an island or in some sort of marsh thing.
Mm.
And I think Josh Duhamel was in it, maybe. And the whole reveal was that he was a ghost or she was a ghost at the end.
I thought wasn't her friend his ex-wife who passed away? And she was a ghost?
Someone was a ghost, right?
Someone was a ghost. Definitely. And someone was living inside, like, in the woods or something like that. Yeah. Or
I thought there was a swing.
I think it was, like, a coastal town. Yeah. Yeah.
Doing a great job explaining this. I can't remember the name of the film. Do you remember the name of the film?
I can find it out pretty quickly.
Anyway, same vibes as this film. Don't you reckon?
Totally, yeah. I don't think it's a problem to be a Nicholas Sparks style thing. Obviously very popular.
I think it's funny how people are so against Nicholas Sparks now as such an eye roll, like, oh, Nicholas Sparks movies, and yet they like a book that's the exact same thing, but it's just rebranded, and so it's more palatable to young people or to people who think that they don't like Nicholas Sparks. You know what I mean?
Safe Haven was the film.
Somehow. Safe Haven, that was it. Can you get some clarification on whose sister's ghost it was?
Katie realizes that her neighbor, Joe, was the ghost of Carly watching over them. Yeah. Julianne Hough.
God, it was bad.
Josh Duhamel.
That was, Smulders. Yeah, not a good time.
Smulders.
So what have we landed on? We've landed on giving her some more agency.
Yeah, basically that's the
main thing.
Yes.
Follow through with some of your story threads about why they couldn't take her and why the housing developer wasn't an issue. Put Taylor Swift's song in the film.
Yeah. Is that at the very end, there are lots of, like, they sort of shoehorned a lot of the court case in, like, the last 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, they got to the end of the runtime and they're like, oh, shit, we're still about 20 minutes away from the verdict.
Did she do it or not? No. Yeah, but there's the whole thing about, like, she couldn't have, the only way she could have got from town to town was to take one bus and then run off, kill the guy, get back. I was like, that could have been something you'd thread through the film rather than just throw at me right at the end.
So does that mean she did it that way?
I guess so, hey.
She literally put a disguise on, got back on the bus. Man, I don't know about that, guys. I don't know about that.
I know, because because of the way that the ending is presented, it's basically like, we all agree, for her to have done that, it's almost impossible.
Yes.
The film ends with a twist saying, she did it though, and we just have to work out how, like, in between.
And then we're like, okay, so hang on, is that what happened? Is that actually what happened?
I guess she did the 99% impossible thing. Yeah, I guess so.
I agree with you. They could have worn something in. She could have you can't implicate Tate.
Maybe she had an accomplice. Maybe Tate could have helped her, but then he doesn't know, so he couldn't have. So,
what if you thread somewhere in the film, she has a penchant for going undercover to get things.
Yeah.
You thread some of that stuff in. Well, you make her do a bad thing. She never does a bad thing. I guess that's the point.
That's it. She's kind of,
you know, do anything bad. She's
almost a Mary Sue in that sense. You know, she is that's a loaded term these days. But it's like, she's just a perfect girl who never does anything wrong, butter couldn't melt in her mouth.
Yeah.
So then the twist is that she did, I guess that's how.
Because my thing about twists is they've got to be plausible. They can't just be unexpected, right? And, I mean, I guess it's plausible in terms of motivation, but I just don't know if it's plausible in terms of practicality. Like, how does she actually do it?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
How does she push him off the thing? Or does she say, come up with me to the fire tower, just look at me and walk backwards for a bit? Like, we never saw how it actually happened. So in our mind, she's still perfect because we never had the, I don't know, visual of her doing something wrong, so it doesn't tarnish her character. I don't know.
It doesn't quite make sense. But you're supposed to, like, just go with the twist.
Just go with it. Just go with it. And sure, I'll go with it.
Just a little tip for you, though.
Oh, yeah.
If you do commit a crime, don't keep the evidence as a memento.
Never keep the evidence.
Just don't do it. No.
I feel like... do I want this recorded forever? I feel like I'd be good at committing a crime. Not necessarily the crime part, but the covering up part. Because all these shows, they, like, open a handle with no gloves on. Obviously, don't do that. There's fingerprints on the handle now. They, like, touch murder weapons. They, like, do such stupid things. And I just know I wouldn't do any of that. There's no way I would have kept the necklace.
I've been thinking about that recently in terms of only murders in the building.
Yes.
Like, you guys are being set up, but also you're not helping yourselves at all because you're doing everything stupid
once you find the evidence that's setting you up. I literally caught up last night with the episode that I was behind on, and I was like, they open a door handle. They, like, touch everything at this place. They handle the murder weapon. Like, what are you guys doing? Are you... a basic... And these guys, actually, it's even... I'm completely on a tangent. Even more egregious for those guys because they're true crime podcast fans. They listen to a lot of true crime. So wouldn't they know not to do those things?
I think so, wouldn't you?
Stay tuned for our Only Murders review soon.
Good show, though.
Good show.
All right, I'm keen to watch more of Daisy Edgar Jones, though. I'll tell you what, pretty good.
So you're going
to
turn on normal people and watch it off the podcast. Interesting.
It looks so sad, though. So
it looks way too sad. The book was sad. That's enough.
I'm just fine. There's not much else that she's coming up in it at the moment, but I'm sure there will be.
Fingers crossed.
All right. So we're going to give it a rating, I suppose.
Yes. 3.6.
Okay. One of your most particular ratings.
Even though it had lots of issues, it passed the vibe check. Mm. And
yeah, I think that's fine.
I really like it a little bit more than 3.5 sounds, but probably not as much as a 3.75 sounds.
Okay.
3.75 is way closer to 4, which I just want to steer clear of, but I also want to steer clear of 3.5. 3.6.
Okay. I'll give it 3.5. I think you've summed it up well in that respect. I think my thing is I thought going in that maybe we're seeing like sort of award level Oscar sort of style, but it's not quite vibe, is it?
No.
Yeah, which I didn't understand going in.
You know what this movie is? This is the movie that you put on with your mother or mother-in-law who has read the book and you're a fan of Daisy Edgar Jones and you put it on both have a nice time.
I really get the vibe. This is the sort of movie that as a kid we would have watched as a family on like a Sunday afternoon from Blockbuster.
With the assault stuff though? I mean, maybe in your family, maybe you guys were like, ratings be damned.
Well, not like that's child as like a, you know, maybe 13-year-old or something like that rather than 6. But yeah, that sort of respect it is something that you're right. Good for mums.
You know, sometimes you need a bit of a mum movie. Yes. It's been a while. Here's another mum movie.
All right, then. Well, thank you very much for listening. We have a big, huge back catalogue. We have a Twitter that we get updated. Various other things on the go. Got another podcast you can listen to. I Miss You, Man. Anything else you want to mention here tonight?
Don't murder people.
Emily in Paris, obviously, get to mention.
Don't murder people. Don't frame me for murder now that I've said I would be good at covering up a murder. Stop wasting Taylor Swift. No, that's fine. Yeah, okay.
All right. Okay. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.